This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. If you're anything like us, you don't just book trips, you run the numbers first. Is this flight actually a deal? Is that premium card pulling its weight? Should I use points here or save them for something better? Well, that's exactly what Smart Travel dives into. They break down which travel cards actually earn their keep and which ones just look impressive in your wallet. They'll walk you through the quick math for knowing when to pay with points versus cash, and they explain how to get real value from your rewards instead of settling for that tiny reward button at checkout. It's thoughtful, research-backed travel finance delivered in a way that feels approachable and actually useful the next time you're about to hit purchase. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to Boldly Go Travels. You're about to hear the audio from one of our recent YouTube videos. For the full experience with drone footage, hotel walkthroughs, and all the visuals from our adventures, head to the Boldly Go Travels YouTube channel or just click the link directly to the video in the description. Enjoy the show. 19 hours in Singapore Airlines business class sounds like honeymoon level luxury, but I gotta be honest, it's still 19 hours trapped in a tube. And for us, this was the start of our 33-day honeymoon. So it really felt like the trip officially starts the second you board. The funniest part, the world's longest flight, you might be surprised to find that you don't get certain things, like pajamas, which sounds silly, but is often a staple on much longer haul flights, especially in business class. This is Singapore Airlines from JFK to Singapore on the A350-900 ULR, and it's a premium-only plane. Business class and premium economy, that's it. But this whole experience starts way before takeoff. So let's talk about how we booked these seats for only $30 cash out of pocket, then the JFK game plan, because the ground setup can make or break how your trip starts. If you're new here, welcome. I'm DeAndre, a Forbes recognized financial advisor, and along with my wife Taryn, we share luxury hotel reviews, destination tips, and strategies to help you travel better for less. This is the first video in our multi-part series covering our month-long honeymoon across Hong Kong, Fiji, and New Zealand. So if travel tips and destination guides are your thing, well, hit subscribe. So let's start with the money, because that can absolutely play a role depending on how you travel. For two business class seats, JFK to Singapore nonstop, then continuing on to Hong Kong, cash pricing was right around $9,300 total when we looked. We booked the same thing for 318,000 Amex points total for two people, plus $29 in taxes and fees. The key lesson here is transfers versus portals. If you've got credit card points, whether it's Amex points or Chase points, Capital One, and you're booking premium cabin flights through their travel portals, you're usually getting a fixed value, which wastes a lot of upside for your points. What we did instead was we transferred our points to a partner program, in this case, Amex to Air Canada Aeroplan, and then we booked Singapore Airlines through Aeroplan. But even with the best points flights, you still need to have a good game plan. We don't live in New York, so we booked a separate positioning flight to JFK. And because this is a honeymoon trip and we're not trying to gamble with weather or delays, especially in December, we got in super early. Like, we kind of have an entire day at the airport early. That created our next problem though, because Singapore Airlines check-in wasn't open yet. No counter, nobody to tag bags, nothing. And we had some checked luggage. So instead of dragging suitcases around JFK for hours, what we did is we actually paid for baggage storage in Terminal 4. It was about $35 to $40 per bag, but just something to know for yourself in case you need to do the same. And it was absolutely worth it to be able to move around normally. But then after that, we did the lounge hop. So our first stop was actually, we tried the Chase Sapphire Reserve Lounge, and they hit us with the 3 hours before your flight rule. I tried to counter back and said, hey, this is a layover. I have their Sapphire Reserve card. but they didn't care. They said 3 hours no matter what. Right next door, though, and literally right next door, is the Amex Centurion Lounge, and they actually did honor the layover situation. They just wanted to see our earlier boarding pass, and then they let us in even with such a long time gap that we had. Once we hit the 3 hour window, we grabbed our bags from storage, checked in with Singapore Airlines, and then went back through security again. And at that point, the best practical option in Terminal 4 was the Capital One Lounge. So even if you don't have a Capital One credit card, the business class ticket for this specific flight got us in. The food and bar were genuinely good, and it felt like a place you could actually settle in before a flight this long. Now, once you board, the next question is, can you actually live in your seat for the next 19 hours? On an ultra long haul flight like this, the seat isn't just a seat. It's your living room, your office, your dining table, and if everything goes right, it's also your bed for the better part of a night. The first thing you'll notice when you walk into this A350 is kind of the vibe. This route uses the A350-900 ULR, which stands for Ultra Long Range Jet, and it's configured for premium only. There are 161 seats total, and it's split between business class and premium economy. No first class, no regular economy. And it's a big reason why the cabin feels a little bit calmer and quieter than a typical long-haul flight with a packed economy section. It doesn't magically make 19 hours feel short, but it does make it feel a little bit more controlled, I would say. Seat-wise, it is a 1-2-1 layout, so everyone has access to the aisle. As a couple, we chose the middle seats. And yes, of course, that's the obvious choice if you want to be near each other. But honestly, you're not really hanging out face-to-face. The seats are wide and really like set back in their own pods, so conversation is more like leaning forward and talking kind of across the divider, not, you know, date night in the sky. So if you're expecting something super social, like Qatar Q Suites, just know it's more like, hey, you're together, but you're still kind of doing your own thing. Storage overall is solid. A few compartments for the basics, plus overhead bins for anything bigger. One thing to know, which is nice, is that the middle section actually doesn't have bins above you, so your larger stuff is actually gonna go above the seats on the sides by the window. Now, the sleep setup. Singapore seat turns into a bed, but it's not the type of chair where it's like press a button and it turns flat style. It's more of a you have to get up and it's a whole flip and fold conversion. And once it's set up though, the bed is legitimately spacious and felt long enough to actually stretch out. At least for myself, I'm 5'8", so I'm not super tall, but there was plenty of space there. Now, on this long flight, pacing matters. So if you don't decide early whether you're prioritizing sleep or screens, you can land in that weird like 12-hour zone where you're tired, you're bored, and everything feels a lot more annoying than it should. So speaking of what is, I want to point out very clearly, first world annoyances, the screen looks really good, but it's actually not a touchscreen. You control it with a handheld remote, which just feels dated on a flight like this. And you don't really realize it until the flight attendant has checked on you for the 10th time, asking to refill your champagne or whatever it may be. And you have to kind of fumble to grab the remote, get to the pause button, and pause the screen so you don't miss what you're watching. Headphones were fine, but they didn't feel premium for the price, and they weren't noise canceling, so if you're picky about sound, then bring your own. Wi-Fi was included for business class, and overall, it was solid for messaging, for email, and staying connected when we were in airspace that had signal coverage, at least. So if the hard product is the foundation, the soft product is what makes the overall flight experience. And this is where Singapore Airlines really earns its reputation. The service is polished and it's consistent. And they're really good at reading the cabin so you can actually rest without feeling ignored. Food is also a big deal on a flight this long because it can either help you land feeling normal or it can knock you out at the worst possible time. We used Book the Cook, and I'm really glad that we did. If you're not familiar, that's where you can pre-order a main from a much bigger list of options that wouldn't normally be offered on your flight. Things like an Angus burger or even lobster thermidor. Just know that there's a deadline. You need to select it at least 20 to 24 hours before departure, or you're going to choose from the standard onboard menu, which is nothing to complain about. I ordered the Singaporean chicken rice, and we also had the Cantonese rice as well. Both were genuinely good for airplane food. I'm talking hot, flavorful and nicely plated. And it really felt like Singapore Airlines was taking the meal seriously. Each meal came with multiple courses, and the smoked trout appetizer and pistachio raspberry dessert were absolute standouts. Drinks and snacks were easy. If you wanted champagne constantly, they're going to keep it coming. And if you want a snack between meals like sliders, you can ask, and it never feels like you're being annoying. Now, let's talk amenities, because this is still the weird miss. No pajamas. And most things are request only. You can ask for what you need, like an eye mask or socks and other basics. But if you're used to airlines that hand you a full kit and sleepwear automatically, this feels kind of minimal for the longest flight in the world. So I'd pack your own sleep kit and treat anything on board as a bonus. But to be clear, I also do get the logic. Not everyone wants or needs a full amenity kit every flight, so it does save on resources. So that's also fair as well. Now for jet lag, we use the no jet lag pills that you can get from Amazon every 2 hours, which we use for most of our long haul trips. And having a layover in Singapore before continuing on to Hong Kong absolutely helped as well, because it really gave us a reset point instead of stacking flight on top of flight. So Singapore Airlines Business Class from JFK to Singapore is absolutely worth booking on points for the space, calm cabin, and the service. Now, yes, it's not the most elaborate business class experience we've had, but service was fantastic, the beds were comfortable, food was great, and I never found myself just praying for the flight to end, which is saying a lot for when you're in the air for almost 19 hours. So if you enjoyed this video, subscribe and stick around, as our next few videos will highlight the first country of our honeymoon, Hong Kong, and the many other business class flights and luxury hotels we stayed at. Until next time.
The New York Times named the Frommer's Travel Podcast one of the 13 best for travel. Why did they like it? Well, they said, and I quote, "With charisma and candor, Pauline Frommer discusses the charms and ongoing transformations of places near and far, whether on the islands of Hawaii or on safari in Tanzania." Pretty nice, huh? We post new podcasts weekly, talking about travel from every angle. I hope you'll tune in.
Hey guys, Aaron Miller here from Armchair Explorer, and I just wanted to let you know that our new series is out now. We've got kite skiing across Antarctica, Aboriginal storytellers, and the craziest whitewater race in the world. We're going on a bucket list hike across Italy. We're going to the fjords of Norway in search of the Northern Lights, and lots, lots more. Our goal is to take you on the trip of a lifetime every single week. You can find Armchair Explorer on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening right now, and at VoiceScape.com.